Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Desperate Housewives. This is I threw myself off. What the fuck? Welcome to Desperate House Witches. We do happen to be wives, but we are witches as well. And that happens to be the name of the show. So anyway, welcome to Desperate House Witches. I'm Dorian Wallace and joined as always by my lovely sister Raina Starr.
Hello.
Oh, we're starting this off with a bang, aren't we?
Holy shit. I have to pee. Wait a minute.
No, it's okay.
I'm going to pee during the show. Thank you. I figured I'd share. Screw it.
I got to tell you,
it's been a long-ass day, and I have done too much driving in too short amount of time, and it's just been nuts. I got a lot of things going on, lots of different things going on, jewelry-wise, learning-wise, work-wise, wise guy-wise. What does it mean when you pee accidentally? Is that an age thing? Am I having bladder trouble? What
possibly? You know,
holy shit! I'm sorry.
You know, sometimes you need to do your Kegels. That's what it means.
No, I do Kegels. Let me tell you what. I have been doing Kegels for over 40 years now. I know how these things work.
I'm not saying you don't know how to do them.
I do them though. No, really. What the hell? All of a sudden, I laugh and there was a reaction bodily. I'm like, what the fuck is this about? Yeah, I guess I'm getting old. Oh, my God, I must be turning into a crone. Isn't that crone behavior when you, like, laugh or sneeze and all of a sudden it's like, oh,
I don't know. It happens to me. Like, if I cough too hard, like, if I get a cold, if I cough too hard or if I sneeze the wrong way or if I laugh too hard, it just, you know, it's part of being a mom.
Oh, so I can blame my children for this. Excellent. Good.
Exactly. And it's usually after the second one, so it's younger ones' fault.
Oh, good. Even better.
Ay, ay, ay.
See, folks, we're real people with real life situations.
There you go.
The same shit that happens to everybody happens to me. I'm getting old. What can I say?
Yeah, we all are. Every second. We are born getting older. Can't stop.
You wish you what?
This is my time changer. I've got, Ash got me for my birthday one year, like Hermione's little time changer. Yeah, and I'm like, God, I wish that thing was real. That'd be awesome.
Harry Potter thing. Okay. I'm like, what the fuck is she talking about? Oh, by the way, I guess I should do the happy disclaimer. This is not a PG show. There is lots of cursing. Take the little ones out of the room. Thank you. That was your one and only warning of the night. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Now you were talking about your time changer. I would not do that.
Yeah, no, I wish it really did work. That would be awesome.
No.
It'd be like a magical snooze button.
No.
No?
No, I don't.
Why not?
No, because I don't want to miss anything. This life is so interesting. I have to see how it turns out. I am dying to know how this ends. It's like a good book. I'm really excited about, you know, the whole getting older thing, because, you know, when you get older, you can get away with more shit, and I'm all about that. You know that about me. I want to see what the fuck else I can get away with before this life ends. I'm excited. No, I like it. It's interesting. I want to see who I outlast.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there's lots
That's
of ways
true.
Of looking at shit. Yeah.
Huh.
You know, I'm
no,
having
I'm
a
talking
bit
about
of a
like
blast.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, there's 5 more minutes that the kids aren't bugging me. That'd be awesome. You know, just like 5 more minutes. Speaking of which, when
yeah.
does school start? Swear to God.
Isn't summer?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I thought summer just started. Well, you mean school's about to restart again?
Yeah, actually, some places, like, and I'm pretty sure it's because it's year-round school, but I think yesterday, or was it yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday that some of the schools in California started.
It's California. They're high. They don't know when school is supposed to start,
no.
So they're just like, fuck it, maybe we should do it now. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just glad they didn't have year-round school when I was a kid, because that would have been a nightmare.
It actually, in a way, it wasn't that bad, you know, because when I was in junior high, it was a year-round school. Yeah, and it actually, it helps you retain a lot more of the information. You don't get as bored with such a long vacation. Like, you know, I mean, because after the first 2 weeks, the kids are like, oh, my God, I'm so bored. And mom's like, oh, my God, when are you getting out of my fucking house, you know?
I'm like that. I was like that. Whether or not they were in school, I was like that. So that really wasn't anything that helped me. So, no, that you know, I was like, do you have a job yet? Mom, I'm only 3. Yeah, whatever. Go work for a living, please. Do something. Be a contributing member to this household. Damn you. Anyway, so I have had a really long few weeks, and I'm still getting over this damn cold, which is obnoxious, and I apologize for sniffling. But, you know, I'm
You just
peed
on the air and you're apologizing for sniffling? Really?
Yeah, well, I'm apologizing. Anyway, I'm apologizing to those who have to listen to me sniffle. But, you know, I was looking, we were looking at the news earlier, and it was like, holy shit, there's not a lot going on. Except there are a few local things in our area that are interesting. But unemployment has dropped to 7.4%. I was like, really? Really? This is amazing. But, you know, I'm not hearing it, like, touted all over mainstream media. And I'm kind of wondering why that is. I can't wait to ask the pagan pundit himself why we're not hearing more about that from any news outlet. It's got me curious. I want to know who's controlling what, because, you know, somebody doesn't want us to think about that information. So I'm... I'm interested to hear what he has to say about that. And whatever, and his current projects. I know he is working on stuff, as he said the last time he was with us. So I want to hear about that. You know,
no,
I want to hear his, take on Sarah Slayman, who spoke at the Texas House. I want to hear what his opinion is of all that. And, she's the one that called out the legislature on the carpet in the middle of session, and they had her dragged out. I think she was my hero of the week 2 weeks ago or last week, something like that. But she's awesome. Anyway, so we'll talk to him about that. You haven't done your shout out, so you need to get to that.
Yeah. I just realized that a minute ago when you were talking. I was like, oh, I didn't give my shout out to Jessica. So, Jess, if you're listening, I'll send you a knuckle sandwich and a bag of chips. Love you, Jess.
You got something to tell me. What?
Well, actually, I've got a couple things to tell you. But
okay.
I wanted to give a shout out to also, I believe it's Rhode Island and Minnesota, because they passed gay marriage today. It became official.
Yay!
So, yay! We are so proud of you guys. And we're so happy.
Yay.
So happy for y'all.
Yes. Yes.
And I decided, I should have done it yesterday, but I decided today, since it's my birthday month,
I'm
doing another magical grab bag.
Cool.
So, you can find the details on Cobalt Raven's Magical Notions, the Facebook page, the, you know, magicalnotions.storemd.com, which I need to put the information on up. DesperateHouseWitches.blogspot.com, the information will be up there as well. But if you spend $25 in the store, your name gets entered into a hat at the end of the month, and you will be selected at random, and you will get a grab bag. And, you know, I don't give crappy prizes. You know, last time I think I gave away a necklace, a pendant, a potpourri holder, a really big candle that looks somewhat phallic. So we're going to skip that candle this time, but there may be a candle in there where you got.
No,
I will probably.
Candle?
Yes. Oh my God. It just did. Yeah, it looked like a dildo. So no giving away the dildos. What's going on? But
I warned you about giving away those.
But yeah, I'll be giving away some goodies. I'll probably talk to the winner and see if there's anything they're concentrating on or a need in their life at that point, and I will choose from that and send you out a goodie bag. So go get your shop on.
Shameless plug. We're good at shameless plugging. No, it's fine. I'm just laughing at you, that's all. I'm the eldest.
Well, hey,
I get to laugh.
You know,
I get to laugh when I want to. Damn it. See, the benefits
no,
of getting
no,
older.
No, no, you can't. And see, because I have mute button, so you can't. I could put you on hold. I'm just kidding. And then you would kill me. Anyway, yeah, I know better. I'll just sing at you if you laugh at me. I love you.
Are you done? Are you done?
Yes. I'm done.
Good.
See, I'm telling you, you're going to kill me.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know what? I got to bring you candles tomorrow.
Yes, you do. Do you know what time you're coming over? Don't mind us, folks. We're just doing sister stuff. Do you know what time you're coming tomorrow?
You know what? I don't, because I may have to go grocery shopping at some point. But you know what? I may put it off till Sunday. So whatever. I'll let you know. You know, just let me know if anything pops up and you got plans, we can work around it, and I'll let you know kind of the time frame.
Well, I'm planning on something popping up, but that's a separate issue.
Woo-hoo!
Hello, I'm just saying. Anyway, yeah, I know too many details, but or not enough. I don't know. Our listeners, you know, they're in our personal life. So, okay, so last week we talked about the prince. Can we stop talking about the prince now? Is that over? I mean, I know he's still alive. He was just born, but okay. So, good. Next, let's see, what else is going on? I haven't had any interesting situations this week because I've been too sick, but that's all right. Did you see what I posted on Facebook? That there's a video. There's a video of Robert Downey Jr. and Sting doing Driven to Tears. It is awesome. Robert Downey Jr. fans, come to my Facebook page and check out that video. He's really good. I was impressed. So,
I would not kick him out of my bed if he farted. I love him.
Oh, God. I would. I would kick him out if he farted.
Really?
I would. Yeah, I would. I guess I have I have old lady standards. I don't know. I like, don't fart in the bed, please. Please. Here's my thing about farting in the bed, all right? Yes, I'm going there. I had an ex who, it was my second husband, who used to like to play canary in a coal mine and, like, fart and then shove your head under the covers and hold the covers over your head. Yeah, this is one of the many reasons, and there are lots of reasons why he's my ex-husband. But, yes, so husband number two used to do that shit and would drive me crazy. Oh, not pleasant. So, yeah, no. I'll tell you what. If I get him and he farts, he's all yours. There you go.
Oh, you know, I'd be feeding him beans on the side. We'd be like, here you go. No, speaking of which, didn't Sting actually sing a song like that when he was with the Police, Canary in a Coal Mine? I believe he did. I will never listen to that song the same way.
That's not what he meant. Never mind. Okay.
I know. That's hilarious.
Here she goes. Go ahead, laugh it up. Go ahead.
No. I'm good. Oh, phew.
Okay. I think we've been silly for long enough on this episode, at least for the moment, until the guest comes on. So I'm going to say it's time to pull out some cards. What do you think? Is that a good idea? Should we do that?
I think that's a great idea.
All right. I haven't gotten mine out yet. Hang on. Go get your pouch. Yes.
I have it. See, now actually, I'll be right on time with you. I can actually shuffle now.
I'm shuffling.
All right. Every day I'm shuffling.
Thank you.
I got to see it every time.
I know. Oh,
I love it.
Happy Llamas to everybody. That's why
I know.
By the way, and bienvenue. Happy Llamas. Okay.
I know. We're such bad witches.
What's your point?
All right. I am spreading them out. I said spread them. All right. Five.
Yeah.
One. Trois.
Yeah.
Trace.
And five. I'm ahead of you. Sorry.
Four.
Oh, let's see what these say. Ooh, I don't like that. Really?
Right.
Okay. Wow, what a mixed bag this reading's about to be. Holy shit.
Okay.
Are you getting like it doesn't read straight? It's some crazy shit in this reading.
Yeah, there's it's like, it's one for each person.
Yeah, it's crazy. This is crazy.
Yeah, it's all good, though.
Oh, mine's
I got all good cards this time.
Not me. No, I don't. Mine are not all good. What's your first card?
Unexpected useful gift. I'm trying to see what I'm picking up on. This is a used car.
Mm.
A red one. And it's, okay, so it's not all good. It's actually an elder friend of the family passed away, and they don't know what to do with the car. So some lucky young person, I'm going to say, who has never had their own car, between the ages of 18 to 21, is about to inherit a car. So this will be good. Just make sure you keep up with the maintenance because this male was particular about the car. So it's going to be in good condition. Just don't forget to check the oil. Don't forget to check the water. And the tire pressure, just take care of it. Be good. Okay. You.
Mine is one straight. Actually, on cross examination of these cards, this is a straight shot. Do your next card.
Okay. Okay. Second one, pleasant, unexpected discovery. Lots of people finding stuff and getting stuff, which is good. You know, it's kind of par for the course once the remnants of Mercury retrograde kind of just finally piss off. Pleasant, unexpected discovery. This is, I'm wanting to say, something that you thought you lost. You just misplaced. You forgot where you put it. It's not money, but it could lead to money. I'm not quite feeling what it is. But it's in a coat pocket because you haven't worn it since winter. So, possibly Karen. Go check your coat. Sorry, somebody in the chat room.
I keep forgetting that, you know, we're live. I'm answering live, and not everybody who listens afterward is going to have been in the chat room. So that was for somebody in the chat room. Third card is a promotion. It's not a huge promotion. It's just, you know, something that that you've been kind of wanting, but not really. I feel like this is a female. And this is, it's not a huge step up, but it's going to give you a little leeway. So this will be a good thing for you. Number four, new friends. And this is also going to be an unexpected thing because these are not things, you know, the reading so far is not things that you're expecting or wanting or asking for. New friends, get out, and this is for several different people who have been somewhat lonely as of late. Just, I say go to a park. Go someplace you normally wouldn't go. But not a place that would, like, okay, if you really can't stand sports, don't go to a baseball game or something like that to meet friends. Go someplace that you wouldn't mind doing those activities again with said new friends. Okay, that being said, the fifth one, unexpected love. Va, va, boom. Somebody is going to meet more than a friend. And this, I feel, is for a couple different people as well. I know generally spring is supposed to be the season of love, but, you know, those, you know, fall's coming up, the hay rides, the Halloween parties and all that. I feel like this is going to be starting to take place the end of August, beginning of September. So, you know, just flirt. Don't be afraid to flirt. Because somebody's got their eye on you. All right, your turn.
Okay. a lot of our cards are similar, but this is all one thing, and it's going to be really quick. First card is new friend. This is actually a new friend of the show. So that's out of the way. Don't gamble, you can't win. The fact of the matter is you already took the gamble. It already fucked up on you. It's time to move on to the next thing. Pleasant, unexpected discovery hasn't happened yet. I think there's you forgot about money you left in your desk drawer. Go check. A lover awaits. Yeah, you have to get rid of the shithead you're dating right now because he's an asshole. Enough said. And the last card is beware of scandal or gossip. In essence, you accidentally said something at work that you weren't supposed to say. It was a confidence you were supposed to keep. Just keep your head low until this bullshit passes. It always does. Don't get stressed out. End of reading. There you go. That's one person.
That's cool. Yeah, we got a lot of the
the same ones.
Yeah, but mine was very specific to one person.
Yeah.
yeah, all of it was the same individual. So take that information. Your boyfriend is an asshole. I hate to tell you. It's just the fact. That's all. And it's almost guest time, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm just waiting on Mr. Tallyman.
I wonder if he likes being called that.
Sorry.
I don't know. He might like it. I have no idea. We'll have to ask him.
I'm not singing it to him, so that's the important thing.
That's true. I love you, but there's a law.
I know. And I tried to abide by it, aside from when I'm in the shower. Well, actually, in the shower, that's not public domain, so unless I'm in the shower at the YMCA or something, you know. But I don't sing in public. I try not to. I'll sing on the phone with you. And occasionally I forget that, yeah, there are a bunch of people listening into our phone conversation. So. It's like, oh, yeah.
This is what we said we wanted, remember? We thought we were funny.
We are funny. We're amusing and we're cute and we can make cookies. So we're awesome.
You know, that's funny you say that. I haven't made cookies in a really long time.
We should make
cookies. Yeah.
We should totally make cookies. I need to make you that English muffin bread. Oh, my God. That shit is the bomb. I love it. It was so good. Especially, like, you know, I couldn't wait. Well, because I made homemade chicken soup, or chicken noodle soup, I should say.
Yeah.
And
I
wanted a bread to go with it. So I was like, you know what? I really want to make this English muffin bread, and I'll have some left over for breakfast tomorrow. We ate all the English muffins on Daddy the other day. Felt bad. So I had to kind of replace them. Excuse me. But, it was still warm, and I cut into it. I slathered some butter on that bitch. Ooh, it was good. It's good. I'm going to have to make you some.
Oh, that would be wonderful. I would appreciate that. Anybody who's friends with Dorian on Facebook knows that she posts pictures of things that she bakes on occasion. And being her older sister, I'm lucky enough to actually get some of that food on occasion. So I'm looking forward to that. That'll be yummy. Because I don't like store-bought bread. I just don't. It's goo. It's like glue. It's really like glue. If you ever squeeze, like make those dough balls, did you ever do that when you were a kid? You take white bread and roll it up into balls and just...
Yes.
I said balls.
I used to ball. Breaking my balls. No, I actually still do that with pizza crust. I still take the center out of pizza crust when I'm done with the pizza and I'll just eat the dough.
In case anyone needed to be reminded that she is the younger sister.
Oh, shut up. You should.
What'd you say?
It's good. I said nothing. Mm. I said nothing. Mm-hmm. I said Tally is on the phone.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Yeah. All right, you need to save me
for
my sister.
Hi.
Kill me.
Hey, darling. How are you?
Reasonably groovy and moderately far out. How y'all doing?
Doing good. Not as groovy as you are, though. That's awesome.
I'm just edgy and controversial. That's all I am.
Oh, and like I'm never controversial. Anyway.
No. So what's going on in the world? Yeah, you know, we've been looking at the news and saying, okay, this is kind of a snooze. What do we got?
Well, there's all kinds of shit going on here. There's a tremendous amount of stuff going on here. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest things going on is the Republican Civil War is heating up. Yes, pass the popcorn, campers. We've got teabaggers and Neanderthals who are squaring off against each other, and it's nothing but fun, fun, fun for those of us on the left. Let me tell you what's been going on these days is there's a whole bunch of Republicans who somehow think that they can get the Congress and the president to repeal Obamacare by threatening to shut down the government. Of course, though, there's plenty of people on the Democratic side who remember how well that worked out for Newt Gingrich in the 90s, in that after Newt Gingrich shut down the government over a budget dispute, he lost his House majority, he lost his speakership, and eventually he lost his seat in the chamber. It tends not to go over too well, but right now there's a whole bunch of jihadists who are saying that they only want to pass. Let's see, what's going on right now is that there is hasn't been a regular budget for the U.S. government in the better part of a decade. The way they've been getting the government funded to keep continuing are these continuing resolutions, kind of like these temporary spending bills that have been habitually kicking the can down the road for the better part of a decade. And basically, it all started during the Shrub era, during Bush Jr., when he knew that there was no way that the Democrats were going to pass the kind of budget he wanted to pass, because the only budget he wanted to pass was going to privatize Social Security and destroy it. And so instead of trying to get a budget passed, he just started having Congress pass these continuing resolutions, kicking the can down the road, and they've never really stopped. And the next continuing resolution is going to be coming up here in the next legislative session once they come back from their summer vacation, which people are saying, you mean they actually came back from their last summer vacation? Yes, they did. They just the House Republicans held their 40th vote today to repeal Obamacare, which is a bill that is promised to be DOA in the Senate. So it's pretty much a symbolic gesture. And it's a symbolic gesture they've done 40 times. I mean, eventually, if they keep symbolically gesturing themselves, you'd think they'd actually get some satisfaction, or, you know, at least a reach around or something like that after a while. But once they come back, they're going to have to deal with this continuing resolution, because if the continuing resolution isn't passed, pretty much the government shuts down. Veterans Administration shuts down. All your government offices, Social Security office shuts down. Pretty much the only things that don't get shut down are things like border security. Certain, you know, large sections of the FBI would get furloughed until they could get it going again. Just the ones that are basically actively pursuing bad guys wouldn't get furloughed. But that, you know, it would just basically be a general millions and millions of people would all of a sudden have a little extra unpaid vacation. And there are Republicans who are saying that the only way that they will pass a continuing resolution is if the resolution specifically says that absolutely none of the money that's being spent by government can go to implement Obamacare. These guys have a real hard-on trying to deny 20, 30 million Americans from getting any health insurance. And that's their latest gambit. Now, The interesting thing about this is that every time that they've mentioned one of these cockamamie plans in the past, they all lemming-like go stepping off the hill together. This time, not so much. This time, you've got the real pieces of mystery meat like Ted Cruz and all that who are saying, oh, yeah, let's shut down the government. But you've got large chunks of the Republican caucus who are saying, that's the dumbest fucking idea I've heard in years. And these are Republicans talking. So when they're saying that something's a dumb fucking idea, you know they've heard some doozies, okay? and so they are openly conflicting with each other. As a matter of fact, even the people who are specifically saying that we should do this are saying that the chances of it actually working and getting Obamacare defunded is zero. In fact, the Ted Cruz even said it was less than zero. Which basically means that he's basically asking the entire Republican caucus to go do squat thrusts in a cucumber patch just for the fucking hell of it. It's about as useful. So these people are openly warring with each other. We had the filibuster showdown this past month, in which the Democrats were threatening that they were going to end the filibuster for presidential appointees unless the Republicans stopped filibustering candidates. The Republicans completely blinked on that. They just completely capitulated. And the thing is that now we actually have a director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, which you know that it had to be someone from the South who decided to put that whole bureau together. It's like, what goes together? Mm-hmm. Tobacco, alcohol, and firearms. Yeah, sure does, both seasons, but yeah. We haven't had a director of the ATF since 2006. So it's been 7 years since we had a director of that particular office. Even Bush couldn't get anybody through because there are Republicans that want to get rid of the ATF, and they figure that if they make sure that there's no permanent person in the spot, then they won't be able to do their jobs. They'll be almost as useless as the Republican Party, and thus people will be okay with getting rid of them. Now we have an ATF director. They completely folded on that. It was really fun was that Mitch McConnell, the Republican minority leader in the Senate, the supposed leader of the Republican caucus in the Senate, was completely shut out of the negotiations. The guy's a prick. Nobody likes him. Most of his own people don't like him. John McCain did an end run around Mitch McConnell because John McCain saw that McConnell was going to lead them right off the fucking cliff because McConnell is up for re-election next year, and he knows he's going to be primaried. As a matter of fact, a jihadist has already filed papers to challenge him in the primary, and he's been trying to suck up to the base by being as bone-stupidly inbred ignorant as humanly possible. And plenty of Republicans who are not up for re-election next year or who are up for re-election next year and actually give a shit about being able to compete, didn't like the idea of him leading them off a cliff. So McCain and a few of them did an end run around him, negotiated directly with Harry Reid, and they got themselves a nice little agreement that got a bunch of people through. Now we have a director for the Consumer Protection Bureau, and the guy, once he gets into office, his first act was to file federal charges against banks that foreclose on people illegally. And that's exactly what the Republicans didn't want to have happen. So that's why they were trying to block his nomination for so long. But what was really fun was that after the filibuster deal, in the closed-door meeting of the caucus, Mitch McConnell said, if you guys had gone through me, I could have gotten you a better deal, at which point one of the members of his caucus actually shouted out, bullshit. He didn't just call bullshit, he said bullshit.
So, really?
Yes. I mean, Mitch McConnell right now is about as popular as an SAT score in the Palin household. Even amongst his own people. As a matter of fact, the Charlie Cook political forecasting company has just turned the Tennessee Senate race into a toss-up category, because even though the place has been electing Republicans pretty much since Lincoln, the Democratic challenger, who is a woman, is running ahead of him right now. Not by much. It's still within the margin of error. But the fact that it's this close this early on does not bode well for the old goggly-eyed snapping turtle known as Mitch McConnell. So it's fucking hilarious. I mean, you've got Marco Rubio, who was the Republicans' great off-white hope, went and negotiated the immigration deal, which is now DOA in the House, because the House is terrified of actually passing any bills that President Obama likes. He right now is stuck, really, really stuck really badly, because he's trying to appeal to Latino voters on one hand by brokering the immigration, the comprehensive immigration reform deal, and yet the guy is the guy's from fucking Florida, and Florida is a, you know, it's shaped like a flaccid penis and a gun kind of put together. So it's filled with crazy people, and the Republicans down there are really fucking crazy. And so now he's having to swing really hard to the right in that he's endorsing the government shutdown deal. He's endorsing throwing the world into a worldwide depression by having the U.S. default on its debt. He's going full on talking about introducing a national bill to force women who want to have abortions to have unnecessary ultrasounds. The guy is just like caught in the crossfire of the Republican Civil War, and he's getting torn to pieces. So it's a lot of fun for those of us on the left to sit back and go, wow, you guys are disorganized. You've turned on each other. You're screwing each other over. You're stabbing each other in the back. Damn, you remind me of Democrats in the 1980s. So,
no shit. That is
true. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And right now, what's really fun is you're going to be hearing a lot about budget. You're going to be hearing a lot about the budget battle that's going to be coming up once they're done with their summer break. Because the thing is that they're actually talking about doing an actual budget. They're going to do another continuing resolution to keep the government operating, but they're actually talking about doing a budget. Because one thing that happened was is that the Republicans came out and told the Democrats that they were only going to pass continuing budget resolutions if the Democrats committed to actually putting together and passing a budget, thinking that the Democrats weren't going to want to do that. They forgot, though, that the Democrats know that mathematics as well as reality has a well-known liberal bias, and the Democrats are very happy to put together a budget because they knew something was going to happen, and now it's happening. The Republicans are actually looking at putting together a budget, and they're starting to realize that a lot of the shit that they've been advocating over the last few years is going to fuck them. It's going to fuck them hard. It's going to fuck them hard with no lubrication and without even a fucking reach around, okay? Because, and I'll tell you why. You can tell that I've been waiting to say this shit because I'm just talking, and I'm sure people at home are going, when the fuck does he breathe? Anyway.
I don't.
It's one of the reasons my wife loves me. I can breathe through my ears. But anyway.
Breathing can be highly overrated at times.
Exactly. I mean, come on. You know, besides, oxygen depth is the cheapest high you can possibly get. But no, what's going on here is that for the past many years, the Republicans in the House have been passing, the only budget that they've been passing is what's known as the Paul Ryan budget, which is a wonderful thing that as soon as they nominated Paul Ryan to be the VP candidate, this thing is toxic. This thing is horrible. It's filled with things like let's destroy Medicare, let's destroy Social Security, let's destroy food stamps, and all of it was to go to not to pay off any sort of deficit or debt, but to just pay for more tax breaks for wealthy corporations. As a matter of fact, in the last election, Democrats' basic electoral strategy was to run against the Paul Ryan budget, to try to tie this thing like a fucking albatross around the necks of the Republican Party. And they were having problems, though, because whenever they would poll voters on what they thought of the Paul Ryan budget, when they would tell the voters what was in the Paul Ryan budget, voters didn't believe it. They didn't think that this was a real thing. They didn't think anybody could be that fucking stupid. I mean, of course, at that point, most of them had never heard of Paul Ryan. This is a guy who makes Rand Paul look like Stephen Hawking. So he's not very bright. And the thing is that not only is it draconian, not is it very cruel, but it's also not even a budget. And this is what most people don't realize. A budget, in the legislative sense, is a very detailed document. I mean, these budgets are fucking sick. They look like a phone book, but they've got smaller type. They are so dense because they literally spell out where every single dollar of the U.S. government spends in the next fiscal year. It specifies where every single dollar goes. It literally will say, you know, in the section on the military, it'll literally say X amount of money to the Army to buy bullets. It goes into that much detail. And
wow.
The Paul Ryan budget is a very skinny, skinny document because it doesn't have any specifics. It says how big the budget should be. It talks about a few things like destroying Medicare to have more money to funnel towards both the military and the tax cuts. It talks about eliminating like the Department of Education. It talks about eliminating student loans. It talks about a few specific things like that, but it doesn't really even say how much we're going to cut food stamps by, how much are we going to cut farm subsidies by, how much are we going to cut all these different things. It doesn't specify anything. What it is it's a statement of philosophy and a very, very broad target. So it's not even really a budget. And now that they're actually starting to try to put spending bills together to go along with both sequestration and the Paul Ryan budget, the Republicans in the House are starting to go, holy shit, you mean we've got to kick this many children off of food stamps? We really have to cut this many sick children and elderly people off of medical in order to meet these targets. They're looking at the numbers and what they'd have to do in order to accomplish all of this without raising taxes and with, of course, cutting taxes for the rich people and for the corporations. And they're going, holy shit, if I do this and I try to run literally anybody, and I mean anybody, a pedophile priest could beat these candidates if they actually tried to do this stuff and run on it. And a lot of them are balking. A lot of them are going, no, we can't do that. We can't. I mean, already they're facing open revolt because the House GOP has decided instead of kicking 5 million poor children off of food stamps, they want to kick 10 million people off of food stamps. And by coming up with various ways to do it.
I guess that's the only thing they're trying not to do half-assed.
Well, that's the thing. It's like once these guys, some of these guys are seeing, oh, my God, you really, this many children are going to have to be kicked off of food stamps. There's some of them who are going, I can't put my name to this. They can't come out and openly say, I oppose this, because their jihadist base would absolutely slaughter them. You have to understand the mentality of the Republican primary voter. During the Republican campaign last year to get the nomination for president, at one point when they were asking Ron Paul about his opposition to universal health care, and the one person, I think it was Peter King from CNN, came out and just said, you know, if you've got like, you know, a Army veteran who has a terminal disease, what's your answer to them? Is it just let them die? And at that point, there were a bunch of people in the audience who cheered that idea. So that's the level of troglodyte. And the hell of it is that they're actually finding that the gerrymandering that they did of the House to try to assure themselves their seats is now starting to fuck them up the ass with literally a chainsaw. It is because these districts are so safe. For these Republicans, literally, you'd have to have 3 or 4 Democrats for every Republican to vote to try to replace these guys with a Democrat. Not a good situation, but what's coming on here is that now, since it's such, these seats are so safe for the Republicans, that these guys are in a trap, because the only people who can beat them are people who are going to run at them from the right, the hardcore Tea Partyists, the ridiculous racists, the homophobes, those kinds of people. And I mean, in other districts, like the district right next to mine, okay, I just moved into Barberton, Ohio, and my local congressman here, the congressman from my district, is a guy named Tim Ryan. He's a Democrat. He's a great guy. He's a populist. He's a real blue-collar type of guy. He's kind of like Sherrod Brown is for the entire state as a senator. This guy is for my district. He's a really, really – he's an excellent person. The district right next to mine, has, I can't remember who the guy is from, but right now it's a Republican, but it's kind of a purple district. It's one of the only purple districts left in Ohio. But the thing is that if this Republican were to want to not get ridiculously stupid and right wing, he'd be able to appeal to people to say, hey, you know, this crazy lunatic right winger is trying to take my seat for me in the primary. If you guys switch over to being Republicans just for the primary, you can come in and help me and let me stay in here because I'm more moderate. And Democrats are doing that all the time these days. So he'd actually, you know, so any Republican in the district next to mine that's still somewhat purple would be actually be able to get help from Democrats in primaries to keep his job. These other safe Republican districts, it's impossible. They don't have the swing votes to be able to keep their jobs. So these guys are finding that they either have to take positions that are so ridiculously right wing that even they can't stomach them, or they're going to get a primary challenge from the right. But the hell of it is that the right wingers who are wanting to come in are so ridiculously right wing that during the general, you could very well see a backlash against them, especially once they start cutting military budgets more and more, because there's a lot of people, especially in the South, who have this attitude of you fuck with veterans and we'll take you out. And that's exactly what the Tea Partiers are wanting to do now. They want to cut the VA budget in half. They want to deny health care to pretty much everybody coming back from war, just because they say that we can't afford it, even though we sent them over there to get wounded and maimed and all that shit. So, you know, it's really, really getting, it's getting ridiculous for the Republicans. And again, I'm just sitting back and going, wow, success is a bitch, isn't it, dude? It's a great time to be a leftist, man. I'll tell you, it's a great time to be a leftist, because if you tell a bunch of Republicans to form a firing squad, chances are they're going to get in a circle. It's a win-win situation.
Yeah. Pretty much, just let them do themselves in.
Seriously.
Yeah, and they're doing this. The problem is that they're, I mean, the House is refusing to govern. John Boehner, in fact, recently, he's so desperate to look effective, even though he's the worst speaker in history. He actually came out recently and said that Congress shouldn't be judged by how many laws it passes. It should be judged by how many laws it repeals, which, for one thing, is a really fucking stupid thing to say. But for another thing, he fails there, too, because they haven't gotten to repeal shit. The only thing that the Congress has repealed in the last 5 years is Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which is a great thing to repeal, but they just got that through because they had a bunch of Democrats who were able to help them repeal it. Everything else they've tried to repeal, I mean, their entire agenda in the 21st century has been repealing the 20th century, and they failed epically at this. I mean, literally, when Harry Truman ran against the Do-Nothing Congress back in the late 1950s, that Congress that was called the Do-Nothing Congress still passed five times more bills than the last Congress. And this Congress is getting ready to outdo even that as far as completely and utterly being totally and completely ineffective. So it's even getting to the point where these Republicans are wanting so badly to oppose President Obama at every turn that recently when President Obama came to them and said, I'm interested in maybe cutting some of these top corporate tax rates down like a half point or something like that, thinking it would buy him some goodwill, the Republicans said, well, if you endorse the deal, we're going to vote against it. They actually said that they would vote against tax cuts for corporations if the president said he liked it. So it's gotten to that point.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I got work for you.
Go ahead. I wanted to talk about Wiener.
Yeah.
Never was a man so aptly named as Anthony Wiener.
I know.
Unless his name was Richard Head, one of the two. But that would have worked too. But Anthony Wiener, see, the thing about Anthony Wiener is it's real easy to be conflicted about the guy because, I mean, when it comes to his marriage and how he relates with women, the guy's a douche canoe. I mean, it's pretty easy to say that he is not, he's not Captain Feminist or anything like that. And yet, when it comes down to the things that are really important, when it comes down to things like voting on legislation that covers women's reproductive health or equal pay for women in the workplace, The guy fell on the right side of every single issue. The guy was literally in favor of women's reproductive freedom. The guy voted in favor of equal pay for equal work. The guy voted for bills that would force the military to actually face up to its sexual assault issues that they're having severe issues with. Legislatively, the guy has been great for women.
Yes.
Just don't fucking talk to the guy on Twitter, I guess is what it is, you know? It's like, don't go out with the guy, don't date him, and don't take a private message from the guy on Twitter. But, I mean, the thing is that the national media has been trying to come out and be very puritanical with the guy and say, oh, you need to drop out of the race. And yet New Yorkers really are not taking to that very well. As a matter of fact, the media outcry to get him to drop out, it could actually wind up really helping him, because New Yorkers get kind of offended when corporate media people in their ivory towers come out and try to tell them, oh, you shouldn't vote for this guy because. Their attitude is, hey, we're fucking New Yorkers. We're going to vote for whoever the fuck we want to. So, I mean, that's the hell of it. I mean, you know, and the hell of it is that, you know, Democrat, you know, it's kind of funny, too, because you can usually tell, with the exception of Diaper Dave Vitter from the Republicans, Dave Vitter, who wanted a sex scandal where he wanted to be diapered and changed by hookers. Except for that guy, you can almost always tell who's involved with a sex scandal by looking at who they're fooling around with. If a male legislator is caught fucking around with another guy, they're a Republican. If they're caught fucking around with a woman, they're a Democrat. Of course, legislatively in the Senate, that's usually because Republicans are dicks and Democrats are pussies, but that's another matter altogether.
True.
But, you know, it just kind of reflects that. But the hell of it is that the Republicans are actually trying to look at how many Democrats have had marital issues, like Bill Clinton, like John Edwards, like Anthony Weiner, like Elliot Spitzer, and that kind of stuff. And they're actually trying to come out with the idea that Democrats are waging a war on women because they can't keep their dick in their pants. And like I said, when it comes right down to it, though, it's so desperate. It is just so desperate. When you take a look across the country, you know, at who is trying to assault women's reproductive rights, when you take a look at who are backing state laws in favor of covenant marriage, which is this ridiculous new evangelical idea, which basically says that when people get married, the only reason that they can get divorced is infidelity. According to covenant marriage, a woman cannot claim that her husband beat her unless there were witnesses. So it's really a regressive form of social contract that's just designed to completely disempower women from getting out of abusive marriages. And there are Republicans who are backing these things on the state level. When you take a look at who is in favor of you know, fucking over kids, fucking over single women, single moms, families, it's always Republicans. So it's really desperate gambit that they're trying to tie the fact that Democrats can have a problem keeping their dick in their pants. But the fact of the matter is that most voters really don't care if a person in Congress fucks their intern as long as they don't fuck the country. So,
yeah.
I mean, how Clinton got out of office more popular than when he went in. So it's just a pure desperation pass that's even more desperate than when McCain picked Palin for his running mate to try to appeal to Hillary voters.
The problem I'm seeing is that there are Democrats that are starting to react to this bullshit. And that's what I'm pissed off about. The fact of the matter is that at this particular point, you've already had the problem once. Okay, you said you took time off. You said you worked on your marriage. You want to make a comeback. Same thing as Elliot Spitzer. Okay, there's got to be a level of accepting responsibility for your stupidity. And I like Anthony Weiner for all of the reasons that you cited. But what makes me angry is that he went in knowing this and got caught again. Now, that's either a mental problem or just plain fucking stupid.
Yeah,
and
or just the guy's your average dude who's in love with his own dick. So, you know, it's like...
But even your average guy who's in love with his own dick, and
yeah.
I would dare say almost any male I know is in love with his own dick. But that's the
right.
That's a separate issue. They're not running for office. This guy is
right.
running for office. Why are you giving people any kind of ammunition? And that really makes
yeah.
me angry.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing that, yeah, it can really piss you off. It's like, come on, dude. It's like, that's one of the reasons why Democrats abandoned John Edwards in droves when the revelations about his marital infidelity came out, because it's like, you know, it's like, motherfucker, you were on the fucking ticket. I mean, you
yeah.
were on the ticket. If Al Gore had been allowed to take office after he won the election in 2000, you would have been a sitting vice president with this kind of a fucking time bomb sitting underneath the entire party, you fucking prick. So when
Thank
he
you.
Got caught, literally, Democrats in droves were just like, oh, fuck you. And they just
yeah.
completely abandoned the guy. And the hell it is, the guy had actually had a pretty decent legislative record, but at that point it's like, no, that's just too fucking stupid. That's
yeah.
too stupid even for us. So, yeah,
yeah,
I mean, it's an issue, but, you know, I'll tell you, ultimately, it's really going to come down to the fact that New York, the only reason Mayor Bloomberg was able to stay in office as long as he did is that he left the Republican Party. New York is a deeply, deeply blue state. It's completely
yeah.
run by Democrats. Not quite as much as California is, but it's still completely run by Democrats. I really can't see New Yorkers being disgusted enough with Anthony Weiner. I think it's just going to wind up being one of those inside jokes, basically. One of those things where it's like, you know, oh, you know, it's Tuesday, April 5th, 2015, and it's been 372 days since Anthony Weiner sent a dick shot to anybody. Here's the news.
So do you think he's actually going to make it? Is he actually going to make it, or is this just going to be another joke?
That's the hell of it. I mean, I think, you know, there's a chance. I mean, there's a definite chance. I mean, because for the very reason, because for one thing, you know, it's like New Yorkers are a little bit more hardened than other people. You go to New York City and, you know, you can see a large selection of phalluses on any given day.
Sure.
You can see a bunch of wieners in the city. And when it comes right down to it, New Yorkers are real practical. Their idea is, you know, it's like, hey, as long as you're not a dick when you write the legislation, we can deal. especially if he comes out and says that he's going to, like, do things like lift Mayor Bloomberg's ban on large sodas and that kind of stuff. The little stuff that a lot that New Yorkers are kind of annoyed at Mayor Bloomberg about, I think, that if he comes out and says, hey, you know what? Fuck that. You can drink as much soda as you want to. If you wind up being a tub of lard and can't see your penis, I'll show you mine. But anyway.
Oh, that was such a good segue.
Oh, yes. I specialize in segues. Well, I mean, that's the thing, too. Like, I've been online. I've been doing a lot of writing online lately, so I'm, like, really warmed up for shit. So I've been...
I love you. I just love you.
Oh yeah, I've been doing like a lot of pagan and witchy type of writing lately too. So it hasn't been all political. As a matter of fact, my anybody who watches my Facebook feed will see that it's been changing a little bit lately. I still got my left wing stories, but I'm also throwing out a lot of stuff about paganism and Wicca, witchcraft, all that kind of stuff too. When I went to Starwood this year, it was a great Starwood. Everybody who went to Starwood this year said it's one of the best ones they've seen in a decade. The energy was great. People were really enjoying themselves. There was a great balance of all the energies were just right. And I actually wound up meeting a bit of a kindred spirit. I wound up meeting this really groovy Gardnerian priestess from North Carolina. She came out to see my workshop on the FamTrad, Paganism's Urban Legend. And because she has this this dislike of Alex Sanders and wanted to hear some very snarky shit. And, of course, I can always deliver the snark, you know me. But
oh,
just
yeah.
talking about traditional craft and why we do it, I mean, it's like, I mean, you know, a lot of times when you meet traditional craft people, you can meet a lot of people who are like 50s, 60s, that kind of thing. But she's like knocking on the door of 30. She's a younger brick shred type person. We had great conversations. And just talking about all this stuff and also the fact that I wound up having a conversation with Ariel, the editor of Green Egg Magazine, and now she wants me to do a series of articles on Wiccan and pagan history for Green Egg. Doing all this stuff kind of led me to realize that I'd been drifting away. I've been kind of drifting in my spirituality lately. And it kind of reconnected me with my roots, all the great combos I had. And, of course, talking about craft history always pushes my buttons because that's one of my main things. And so since I came back from Starwood, I've been reconnecting with my spirituality in a great big way. So it's been kind of a renaissance for me. And I've actually been wandering out into these various pagan groups on Facebook and going out and taking part in discussions and answering questions and that kind of stuff. So it's been, you know, things have changed a little bit for me over the last month, but really, really in a good way. So I'm quite enjoying all of this. And it's actually kind of funny because it's like, I've been finding that some things have been shifting, and I've actually been finding that in some of these groups, I'm actually more liberal when it comes to defining Wicca than some of these other groups are, which is interesting because I'm a Brit trad. I mean, the trad I'm a part of is a Gardnerian offshoot, and I've always made the joke that I'm a boring old fart stick in the mud traditionalist, but I've actually been on the fact that there's been such a backlash against Wicca on the internet over the last couple of years that there's actually been this active attempt by non-Wiccans to narrowly define what Wicca is, to try to narrowly define it so much that most people don't qualify for it anymore, and they're trying to attack the numbers of Wiccans by, like, defining it out almost out of existence. And so I've been out there actively resisting these efforts and actually sticking up for the eclectics, which trust me, if you
Thank
had told
you.
Somebody back in the 1980s that you'd have a Brit trad out there actively sticking up for the eclectics, they would have asked you what you were smoking and if you were sharing. So it's been a lot of fun. And see, that's again, you know, when we talk about politics, there's all kinds of levels of politics and personal politics. I've noticed, you know, in some of these pagan groups, some of the personal politics that are going on with people are just fucking noxious, man. There's one, I won't say which one it is, just because I don't want to seem like I'm, you know, taking advantage of my position here to fight private battles, but there's one group that I wandered into that I noticed has a really toxic atmosphere. If you get somebody who's a newbie, who's kind of clueless, who asks a stupid question or something like that, there's like a group of people that jump on them and just fucking hammer the shit out of them, man.
Yeah,
and they literally badger and bully these people until they quit the group just for asking a question that these people didn't like. Or in the process of things, they might do something that run afoul of a single rule, and then boom, they just get hammered relentlessly, literally until they just give up and leave. And when I talk about the fact that I've been sparring with these people, I've been coming out and saying, hey, you know what, this isn't right. You're bullying people, and I've seen it happen before. I've been online since 1995, which to me doesn't sound that long ago, but when I think about the fact it's been 18 fucking years, okay, it's been a while. But in that time, I've seen a lot of different areas of the pagan internet. I've seen some stuff, some areas that were huge at the time. I don't know if you all remember IRC chats and chat rooms, but there was a chat network called ESNet, and there was a Wicca chat room on there that got really, really big and really, really popular. And after it got really big and really popular, there got to be a small cadre of people who, again, were like dogpile on the newbie. It's like, oh, well, that's a stupid question. Let's make you feel like you wish you hadn't been born just for asking the question. Pagan on the Usenet got the same way, where it got really, really toxic. Again, and people always have a million, they'll come out and say, we get so many people coming through here all the time who stop this shit, and we just get tired of it, yada, yada, yada. They're always very justified. But what always happens is that they take such glee in it. Like when there's this one on the group that I've been having the most pie fights on, there's this thing they call a flouncing thread, where people who are going to leave the group and want to leave a message saying how pissed off they are, they say, well, leave it here on your way out the door. And there's a bunch of people who sit on that thread and wait. And whenever anybody says, you know, there are people on here who are just horrible and I'm leaving, that basically gives them the opportunity to jump on them and pick on them all over again, including sending really nasty private messages and just really being harassing. So I've seen these groups do that time and time again, though. They're always very justified. They're, you know, they can always give you a million reasons why. And their favorite one is saying, we're not fluffy. We're going to be blunt. We're going to be straight with people. But it's like, no, it's like, you know, you're taking too much fucking pleasure in jumping on people and making people feel like they want to leave your group. And all these groups, the ones in the past, like EFNet, All Pagan, they're ghost towns. They're either gone or they're ghost towns and nobody goes on them anymore. I mean, it's always like, be careful who you piss on the way up, because they're going to use you as toilet paper when you're on your way down. And I've been trying to get this across to people, saying, look, I've seen this before. You think you're unique. You think you've got unique issues. You think just because your group has 13,000 people on it that somehow you're untouchable. Trust me, you're fucking not. And but, yeah, I've been getting into some interesting pie fights on there, too, saying, look, treat people with compassion. If you try to be compassionate and somebody acts like an asshole, fine, verbally bitch slap the assholes. I mean, I do that to Tejadas all the time. I always give them the benefit of the doubt once, and when they get really stupid, then I slap them. But, you know, but it's like, you know, have a little compassion, because sometimes people just do make a genuine mistake and they didn't mean to, you know, flout your rules or anything like that. But, you know,
your tree.
Yeah, so it's crazy. Yeah, so, and also I go on there, too, and I notice every time I go on one of these rants about how you got to treat people better, I wind up getting, like, 8 or 9 people friend requesting me after it. So it's, you know, it's like, so it one thing, you know, if nothing else, I can show, I'm never really going to change the mind of the people who are taking glee in the suffering of others, because they're just a unique form of blue vein prick, but the people on there who aren't talking, who agree with me, the fact that I can go out there and give them a voice just makes me feel good. So it's, but, you know, it's like, you know, come on, people. You know, just because you weren't popular enough in high school doesn't mean that you need to act like the prick now, you know?
Right?
That's true.
I mean,
that's true.
Go ahead. No, you're, sorry. No, I don't understand all this fighting amongst ourselves, you know, and half of the people that are starting this crap and jumping on the newbies are just barely past being a newbie themselves. And it just kind of perpetuates itself, you know, because they were picked on by the people before them. And then, you know, those people eventually go on and realize, oh, God, I was a jackass. And they can't go back and apologize. It just continually goes on and on. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing, too. It's like Leo Martello came up with a great name for it. He called it bitchcraft. And he came up with that back in the 1970s. I'll tell you, the witch wars that happened in the 1970s were really vicious. The trad that I'm a member of, there are people in the trad who, after the witch wars of the 70s, not only refused to take part in community, they refused to talk to other people in their own trad. They just completely closed their doors and shut down business and just completely disappeared. So, and I think, you know, and the part of it, too, is that you get people who have absolutely no sense of their own history. That's a big thing going on here. I see people in the pagan community making the same mistakes over and over again because they have no idea that somebody did the exact same fucking thing. You know, they had no idea that people have made these exact same mistakes and it completely fucked them over. And when you don't, when you have a complete and utter ignorance of the past, then there, you can't learn from the mistakes of your elders. You can't try to avoid the same bullshit. I mean, one of the scenes that wound up getting deleted from Dark of Moon because it was just way, way too fucking long. But the one line I loved was when I had a character, when they were having a discussion on pagan history, having a character saying, well, that's useless to make the same mistakes over and over again. We're pagans in the 21st century. We can make new, bold, and inventive mistakes all on our own. And that's true. We are creative people. We can find new ways to fuck up. Trust me, we don't need to keep doing what other people have done before. But when people don't understand the history, when they don't, you know, when they can't learn from the mistakes of people in the past because they don't know about what happened to people in the past, this is the kind of thing that happens. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so insistent on teaching modern pagan and Wiccan history. Not only do I find it completely fucking fascinating, as a matter of fact, right now I'm reading an insanely fascinating book called Children of Cain, which is a study of non-Wiccan witchcraft traditions in England by Michael Howard. Ian Corrigan loaned me the book, and I got to give it back to him tomorrow. I got one more chapter that I'll be doing after I get off the phone here tonight. Fascinating book on our history. But, you know, not only do I find it fascinating, but I've also, you know, whenever my wife and I have a coven up and going, I go, you know, we could do this, but every other time a coven's tried to do this, it hasn't really fucking worked out, so why don't we try something else? You know, I'm trying to, like, you know, take the heritage of the glaring mistakes that people made before me and say, okay, you guys made these mistakes. I don't have to. Let's try something else. Let's try something different.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so excited that I'm doing a series on modern pagan history for the Green Egg magazine. I'm really excited about we're writing for Green Egg. I mean, hell, they've been around on and off for something like 40 years. So there's some real history going on there. And I'm basically, since it's an online e-zine anymore, the editor, Ariel, has told me that I can make these articles as long as I want to, which is dangerous to tell me that because, fuck, if you think I can talk a lot, you should see me when I write. but I mean, I'm starting out in the first issue, I have an article on the rise of eclectic Wicca in the 1970s and 80s. And in this one, I'm actually not so much talking about who, like names and dates. I will get to the names and dates in the future articles, but I was actually talking about the overall cultural pressures that led to the creation of eclectic Wicca and how it wound up benefiting both the eclectics, and it also was a big benefit to the traditional craft community as well. And to find out how it was a benefit, you'll have to read the next issue of Green Egg, which is available free online. So, yay. But I'm stoked. I mean, it was kind of funny. I was hanging around Ian Corrigan's site at Starwood, and Ariel was there. She was interviewing Ian for the next issue of Green Egg. And when she was done talking to him, she and I started talking, and I started talking about how I always come around to Oberon's workshops at Starwood because I'm a pagan history buff, and the history of the Church of All Worlds is a very vital part of neo-pagan history. And we just started talking, and she's like, well, you need to write this down. I'm like, okay, I will. And my ultimate plan is to do a series of articles that I'm then going to try to expound upon and expand upon and sell as Taliesin's Big Book of Pagan History. So that's going to be a future project right there.
Yay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and what's even better is that I am, I'm so excited. Phil Heffelton is a Gardnerian initiate in England who's been doing the best work in looking at the early days of Gardnerian witchcraft in the business. He wrote a couple of books called Wiccan Roots, and the second book was called Gerald Gardner and the Cauldron of Inspiration. I know it sounds like a Harry Potter book, like a Harry Potter title, but it's a really good book. And in these books, he establishes he actually he has hard evidence that the New Forest Coven that Gerald Gardner said initiated him really existed. And he not only gives evidence that it existed, he gives us names of people in the coven. He gives us a basic description of the type of workings that they did. We're just talking top flight anthropological historical research here. And he's just come out with a 2-volume set on a definitive biography of Gerald Gardner called Witchfather. And I'm going to be getting those books in the mail any day now. I traded an old tarot deck for them, so I'm really happy.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, I'm going through my collection, and I'm actually going to be selling off some of my old tarot decks. I've got some old rare tarot decks that as soon as I unearth them in my boxes from the move, I'm going to wind up offering them to people on my Facebook friends list, and if nobody bites, I'll wind up putting them up on eBay. So I've got the next one that's going to go up for sale is the Royal Fez Moroccan Tarot Deck, and it is a fairly uncommon deck. It's been out of print, I think, since the early 1980s. There's one deck that just sold on eBay for like I think $130. So
wow.
I'm currently selling my copy of the Royal Fez Moroccan Tarot Deck. I know it just went for $130, but if anybody wants to get it off me, I will sell it straight up for $100, and I'll pay for the postage. So just so I don't have to deal with fucking eBay. But anyway, I'll do it if I need it. But any tarot fanatics out there, I've got that. And once I unearth it, I've got a Brotherhood of Light tarot deck, which has been out of print, I think, since the 1970s. I'm going to be putting that one up, too.
You don't have to have an extra copy of the Domino Divination deck, do you?
No, I do not have the Domino Divination deck. See, that's the thing. I'm a tarot reader, but I've never really been huge on collecting tarot decks. I look at other people's tarot collections and go, ooh, ah, that's cool. But I'm a little bit too much of a practical type. It's like if I'm not going to read with a deck, then it just kind of gets put on a shelf somewhere and sits. And
yeah.
You know, I don't have enough decks to have a collection. I only have about a dozen tarot decks, and four of them I use for readings. So the other eight, once I unearth them all from the boxes from the move, I'm going to be putting up. And the Brotherhood of Light deck's a lot of fun. It's actually a Neo-Egyptian deck that was first designed in the 1930s, and it's always been a black and white deck, and they've always encouraged people to color them in yourself. But I have so basically most of your Brotherhood of Light decks have been hand-colored by the people who had them. I have a copy of the Brotherhood of Light deck from 1963 that has never been colored. So I'm going to be putting that one up. It's a fun deck. But the only decks I read with Ellen Keenan Reid's Witch's Tarot, which is probably still my favorite because it's so Kabbalistically dead on, and I love the imagery on it. I also use Crowley's Thoth deck. I use a deck called the Llewellyn Tarot, which is actually put out by Llewellyn, and the Welsh imagery on that deck is just really fucking awesome. And I've got a new deck that I read for people with that's kind of semi-Lovecraftian and steampunk, and that's called the Alchemical Tarot. And I'll read that for my friends who are kind of Cthulhu fans or people who like things a little dark and twisted. But those are the four decks I read with. Any of the other decks I unearth, I'm going to be ditching. I just swapped a copy of the Grand Italia Tarot deck for the Gerald Gardner books. So
very nice.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm also gonna sell off some of my doubles. I have like a bunch of books where I have like two or three copies of these things, and I'm gonna be selling off those too. I've got a hardback copy of Witchcraft Today by Gerald Gardner from 1971 that I'm gonna wind up putting up for sale too. So that's just trying to make a little extra money, and actually a lot of it's gonna go into buying books because I'm a book whore. So I'm a total book whore. There's a book called Bull of Heaven, which goes over Ed Baczynski, who was the founder of the Welsh traditionalist Wiccan tradition. And that book came out recently. And, of course, it's a book about modern Wiccan neo-pagan history. So, of course, I'm like, oh, me wants. So.
Aww.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
so that's what's going on with me. I saw you had on your thing that I don't have a producer for my film yet. I'm still working on that. But I may have a UK distributor for Dark of Moon. So that's something I'm pursuing. Yeah, well, basically one of the people I ran into on one of the British traditional Wiccan Facebook groups that I hooked up with turns out actually to be somebody who's an initiate, Gardnerian initiate of the Whitecroft line. And that's a line of witches that goes through a woman named Eleanor Bone, who was a member of Gerald Gardner's original Bricketwood Coven. So basically, once Gardner left the New Forest Coven, and he went off to form his own coven with his first High Priestess, Dafo, who was then replaced by Doreen Valiente, that was the Bricketwood Coven. They used to meet on the grounds of a nudist club in England that Gerald Gardner was the owner of. He was a member of the nudist club, and then when it went up for sale, he just bought it because his family was reasonably well off. So he didn't want anybody buying the nudist club that wouldn't want witches on there, so he bought it himself. And that was called the Bricketwood Coven. And as people in the Bricketwood Coven were people that you probably recognized if you know your original early Wiccan authors at all, people like not only Gerald Gardner, but also Doreen Valiente, Patricia Crowther was associated with the Bricketwood Coven, Eleanor Bone, Lois Bourne. And one of the lines from that coven was the Whitecroft line, and the bloke on there, we started talking. He was actually impressed that I was an American who knew what the hell the Whitecroft line was, because a lot of Americans don't. And he's like, oh, I know some people who do independent movie distribution in the UK. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to have to send you a fucking movie then now, aren't I? So that's something else I'm hoping to have some forward motion on by the time I talk to you guys when September dawns. So that would be a nice 43rd birthday present to myself if I could actually sell Dark of Moon to any distributor, you know, especially a UK one, because, man, it costs so much to ship these movies overseas that it makes it kind of out of the price range of a lot of people in the UK. So I'd really like to get it out to the British witches over there, especially since it talks so much about Brit trads and Gardnerians and all that, because they're a little more down with that there than a lot of areas of the States are.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I just wanted to let you know my copy arrived.
Yay! Oh, my God. You folks, people who are listening don't know what I went through to get Raina her DVD. First off, yeah. I fucked up her address and it got sent back to me. That was my fault. That was just, you know, I wound up addressing the envelope way too late after way too much herbal relaxment. And I, you know, just kind of like completely fucked up the zip code and I misspelled the town. And it wound up coming back to me. And then so as soon as I come back from Starwood, I package this thing up. I send it off again. 2 weeks later, just the other day, it comes back to me. Why? Because my local post office, who must, you know, these people must have been trained by the Bachmans or something like that. You know those little stickers that they put on your mail that have the barcode that are supposed to tell everybody where it's going and all that. That sticker was over part of the address, and the sticker was coded wrong. So even though I addressed it correctly this time, they screwed it up. So, and it looked like it had been just, it literally just looked like it had been thrown down in front of a bunch of Justin Bieber fans right before a concert. It was so beat up. I wound up sending it back out. I sent a different copy back out because that one, the case was cracked. And I was like, fuck this. And I sent it back out again. And now she has it today. So I actually sold 5 or 6 copies at Starwood this year in the last couple of days. It was very, very cool.
Awesome.
But you will have to tell me how you like it. And I'll tell you, people keep threatening to do a count of how many curse words. I myself don't like to count that high, but if you get a ballpark, let me know.
Okay, I will guess it for you.
I mean, literally, within the first couple minutes of dialogue, you hear the phrase, "I wouldn't fuck that with a stolen dick." So, you know.
Oh God. And on that note, yeah. I hate to do this, but we are at 90 seconds, so I
damn.
I need to cut it short. I'm so sorry. That went so quick. It always goes so quick.
It did. Okay, but well, happy Lunasa, everybody. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, and remember, you know, if it's too old, then you're too loud.
There you go. We love you. We love having you on, and we can't wait till next month. And we'll talk to you soon.
Party on, guys. Have a great one.
Yeah.
You all too, right, baby.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye.
All right, and we got to go because we got 30 seconds left. So we love you. We will be back next week with Bruce Mullins from the Lake Okeechobee, the big controversy that was going on. So we're going to find out how that went next week.
Yay.
But we love you. Bright blessings. Stay cool, people. We love you.
Night, everybody.
Night.